Well, it's a great honor and a privilege to be preaching this morning before you just a few short weeks after being ordained, which was an absolute blessing to me and my wife, Megan. And so we love this congregation. We love this church. We love our people. And y'all have been nothing but amazing to us. And as we've begun our family and life together, if you would please turn to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to go ahead and stand for the reverence of the reading of God's Word. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10 is where we're going to camp out this morning. So if you would turn there with me, and we'll begin reading. And the Apostle Paul says, starting in verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." Let's pray together. Father God, thank you. Thank you again for worship. And we can come before you and read your word, the words that you've inspired through many authors, the word that you've inspired through the Apostle Paul, that is the final authority, indeed a firm foundation which we have to know you from. Lord, as we turn our attention to Christ as our firm foundation for our faith, who's established us and completed us, I pray that you would guide hearts and ears and my voice and my own heart this morning. And we would tune our hearts to sing your praise. And I also pray in your holy name. Amen. You can have a seat. My sophomore year of college, I was driving down a back road near Carson Newman, where I went to school, and I got caught for speeding. And the officer pulled me over and explained that, you know, I was going 15 over. He was giving me a speeding ticket. And so when I got my ticket, he told me that I could go to a court hearing and have the points taken off my record. So he gave me the date of the court hearing. And I, of course, to get my points taken off my driving record, put it down on my calendar and decided I was going to go to this thing. So I'd never been to court before, never stepped inside one, I didn't even know where it was in the county, and so I had to look it up. And I realized that morning when I woke up early to go that I had no idea what to wear. I don't know what the dress code is. Is there a dress code in a courtroom? I don't know. And so I just put on a nice button-down and some khaki shorts and some flip-flops and went on my way. And as some of you are giggling, it's quite obvious when I showed up to the courtroom, to my surprise, there's a dress code. And so the clerk told me that I would need to have pants on, long pants on, in order to enter the courtroom. And so I was in a bind. I had 5 minutes before my court hearing, and if I didn't show up on time, I would get bumped to the last one. I had class, and it was a bad situation. I thought I was going to have to run to Goodwill and try and buy me a pair of pants instead of going 25 minutes back to my dorm. And so I realized, I went to the back hatch of my car, and I realized my camo hunting bag, my gear, was in the back hatch. And so I pulled out a pair of camo pants and changed really quickly, went inside the courtroom, and approached the stand in front of other speeders and criminals wearing camo pants, flip-flops, and a button-down. And as I approached, I remember the judge told me that he liked my outfit. He said, "I like your outfit, son." But anyways, it was, needless to say, an insufficient wardrobe for the occasion. You've probably experienced a similar situation where you found yourself in an insufficient wardrobe. Men, maybe some of us in here have showed up on the first date wearing a tank top and a pair of jean shorts, while your date was wearing a nice elegant dress. You were probably not dressed very appropriate for that occasion. You were insufficiently dressed. Maybe some of you women have shown up to a funeral with a white dress on. It's probably not a good idea. You are insufficiently dressed. We have insufficiencies sometimes in our wardrobe. Now, I'm sure we've probably all found ourselves at some point in an awkward situation where we felt underdressed, where we lacked the sufficiency in the way that we dress. Or maybe, like me, you had a common sense deficiency. Either way, in and of ourselves, we fell short of a standard and we found ourselves in a situation where we were unaccepted as we were. We had to change. I had to change my clothes in order to be accepted into the courtroom. We find ourselves in the same state of deficiency when it comes to the standard of God. We fall short of His glory. We fail to show up in the right attire. We have a deficiency which must be changed. And the only problem is that we can't change ourselves, can we? Our only hope is in a firm foundation. A firm foundation that's found only in the saving work of Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Today, I want to give you four reasons we have such a firm foundation in our all-sufficient Lord Jesus. Four things that Scripture gives us to help establish our understanding of a sufficient Christ for all things. So let's read verses 6 and 7 again as we look at our first reason we have a firm foundation, is that Christ is sufficient to establish our faith. He is sufficient to establish our faith. That's the first thing. Look at verses 6 and 7 again. Verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in thanksgiving. How is He sufficient? Because of His work on the cross. He is sufficient because of His work on the cross. Received, that word received there, implicating that it's a gift. It is a gift. It is a gift, Romans 6:23. It's a free gift from God. And it's not by works. It's not a gift that we've received by anything that we've done. It's, as we find in Ephesians 2:8, that it's only by grace that we've been saved, through faith, not by works, so that no man may boast. It's only in Jesus' life-saving, substitutionary death that we find life, that we have received this gift. This gift is our firm foundation, and it is a firm one, isn't it? So firm is this foundation that, as Jesus puts it, when the rains come and the floods come and the winds blow, that house does not fall. Why? Because it's been founded upon a solid rock, Jesus, the God-man, Jesus Christ, our solid rock. So our first reason is that Christ is sufficient to establish our faith. He establishes our faith on Himself. We have received this gift, a firm foundation on the rock of Jesus Christ. The second reason that we have a firm foundation in our all-sufficient Lord is because Christ is sufficient to build our faith. To build our faith. We see that phrase, to walk in. Walk in verse 6. As you have received this gift, so walk in Him. Why? Because He's equipped us with His righteousness. That word received that we just talked about carries with it other weight. It has another meaning as well to help us understand how we are to walk in Christ. Christ's blood is special, not just because it removes the guilt of sin, but also because it imputes His righteousness onto us. It imputes, meaning it awards us, it exchanges the guilt of sin placed on the Son, Jesus Christ, and we are given His righteousness. It is imputed into us. And so that this has several glorious truths attached to it. Not only do we have the luxury of sin removal, we get souped up with the very righteousness of Christ. This means a few things. When God looks down at us, He doesn't see a guilty, vile sinner. Helpless are we. Instead, he sees his own son's righteousness, the blood that we've been covered in. So when you begin to feel the shame of sin, when you begin to feel the weight and burden of particular things that you have done and rebelled against God from, we get to hold on to this glorious truth that we have a firm foundation that we have the very righteousness of Christ that's been given to us. And that God sees His Son's righteousness when He looks down on us. The second meaning is that Christ's righteousness is our righteousness. So when we begin to feel confident about some things that we've done lately, man, I've been really good in the Word this week. Wow, I've had perfect attendance to church this year. Wow, I look at all these things that I've done. We remember that, well, that's not you, it's Christ's righteousness. It's the very righteousness of Christ. It's a very humbling truth to be founded on a solid rock. Therefore, because of this great salvation for which we have received, we must walk in Him. Walk in Him. Jesus is sufficient to build our faith as we walk in Him. If I were to have shown up late this morning, I only would have probably given a few people a heart attack, but if I'd have shown up late this morning and walked in and somebody, Becky or JT came up to me and said, "Jared, where have you been? You missed announcements? What are you doing? You walked in late, we couldn't reach you." I said, "Oh, you'll have to forgive me. I was walking here, I only live a couple blocks away, and I was walking here, and you're not going to believe this, but all of a sudden a semi-truck came down right down Walnut and just ran me right over going 60 miles an hour. That's why I was here late." We're going to say, "Well, Jared, that's ridiculous. You're either a liar or a lunatic." Okay? Because you can't possibly encounter something as powerful and large as a semi-truck and not be changed. This is the same truth that we find here at work as we walk in Christ. The question becomes, what's more powerful, a semi-truck or God of the universe? It is impossible to encounter something as powerful as Christ, the risen Lord, as powerful as God, the creator of the universe, and not be changed, and not walk in Him, and not have the righteousness of Christ working out in your salvation. He builds us up and is sufficient to give us, to impute into us, His very righteousness. So, not only does He establish our faith, not only does He build our faith, but He is also sufficient to guard our faith. Verse 8, look at verse 8 with me. Verse 8, "Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world and or elemental spirits, and not according to Christ. See to it that no one takes you captive," the ESV puts it. Why? Why is He sufficient to guard our faith? Because He has equipped us with the Spirit and the Scriptures. We see in this passage several types of false teachings in which Paul is warning the Colossians about. Or against. There's a fourth one we're not going to cover. But the first three are rationalism, legalism, and mysticism. The fourth is asceticism. We're not going to cover that. It's kind of weird. We don't see that much in modern church in our culture. So we're not going to cover that in detail. But the first one is rationalism. Rationalism, meaning human wisdom or philosophy. We live in a culture that gives great, great attention to the mind, to the intellect. And we are often intimidated by that. We must pay great attention to our minds. We must build our minds. We must have all the philosophies figured out. As if faith in Jesus Christ is not enough. There's something in philosophy and psychology and something in human reason that embellishes Christ. That's what philosophy and worldly philosophy says. But the truth is, we are the elite of the world intellectually. Why? Not because of what we've done. We've already covered that, right? We're the elite because we have the mind of Christ. We know God in Christ. We know the truth. I know the truth about values. I know the truth about morality. I know the truth from a standpoint of life. I know the truth about life from a standpoint of death. I know what is right. I know what is wrong. I know what makes me and people happy. I know what brings ultimate joy. I know what brings sadness. I know where joy is found and peace is found and hope is found and truth is found. And so do you, right? And you didn't get that by earning a PhD. You earned it not from anything that you have done. You received the gift from Jesus Christ. The second false teaching is legalism. Legalism, meaning, and this is very relevant to the church at that context and that time, and also in our context in our time. Paul had just gotten done writing a letter to the Galatians for this same thing, that legalism was rampant in their church. Legalism, meaning carrying out of ceremonial or ritual religious routines in a way that makes you feel right before Him. Paul says in verse 16, if you look down in verse 16, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to festivals, or of the new moon, or of a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Legalism, keeping rules and laws, keeping a checklist of what you've done and what you haven't done, and so that at the end of the day you can bring it before the Lord and say, be pleased. May I get favor. Look at all this. Look at my resume, Lord. Legalism. I believe that churches are full of people who believe their salvation is attached to how often they read their Bible, pray, and go to church. Why? Because Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, as Pastor Matt preached recently, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name do all of these many mighty works and in your name do all of this good stuff? Look at our resume, Lord, and he will say unto them in that day, away from me, I never knew you. Why? Because it was Jesus plus. It was not Jesus Christ alone. It was Jesus plus their resume. Is your confidence in salvation attached to the fact that you don't do certain things? You don't go to the bar. You don't commit adultery. You don't do these things. You stay away from the bad. Or maybe that you do certain things, that you do come regularly to church. We stay away from the bad, obscene internet sites. We do come to certain places. We do read our Bible at home. We have a regular quiet time. Then you are not really trusting in the all-sufficient Christ. You're trusting in Christ plus your religious activities. Legalism, false teaching that Paul warns against. The third is mysticism, meaning supernatural experiences or paranormal experiences or visions which make you more right before the Lord. You have a special experience with God. Mysticism basically tells you this. It tells you that Christ is not enough. You need some kind of extra experience to really have faith. It's Christ plus something. All mysticism is a deeper, higher religious experience based on personal intuition. It's nothing. God has spoken. The Bible is final. There is not a comma at the end of Revelation. There's a period. He has spoken. We don't need special intuitions and healings and special occasions of mystic experiences. Why? Because Christ is enough. Jesus is enough. He is sufficient for all of our needs. He is sufficient for all of our spiritual needs. He is sufficient for all of our physical needs. And the heresy at Colossae was saying that all of these things are necessary for a complete spiritual life and for a right relationship with God. It is one of the deceptive ploys of Satan. He doesn't denounce Christ. One of the deceptive ploys of Satan is, no, Jesus is good. Jesus is good. You need to worship Jesus, but you also need to do this. You also need to have special experience. You also need to do all of these things. And as Galatia was taught, that you need to be circumcised. You need to practice all of these Jewish practices. Jesus is good, but you need this also. Jesus plus this is what you really need. No. Christ is sufficient. He is enough. He is sufficient to guard our faith against these false teachings. Not only does Christ establish our faith, not only does He build our faith, not only does He guard our faith, but He also is sufficient to complete our faith. Look at verses 9 and 10 again with me. Verses 9 and 10. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him. Verse 10. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Christ is sufficient to complete our faith. Why? Because He is the fullness of God. He has the fullness of God dwelling in bodily form. The sufficiency, all of God is in Christ. Christ is fully God, meaning He is above all things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was creator of all things. He is sufficient to create all things. He is sufficient to hold all things, sustain all things. He is sufficient to meet all of our spiritual needs because Christ is fully God. All the fullness of God is in Christ, and Christ is in you, and you are complete in that. What can human wisdom add to that? What lack in our spiritual lives do we need help from the world? None. In Christ, or with Christ, if you look throughout the second chapter of Colossians, really throughout the whole book, in Christ or with Christ is used 20 times. In the second chapter, it's used 9 times, in Christ or with Christ. This is an obvious theme of Paul's as he writes to the church in the book of Colossians. In Christ, there's an identity crisis. He wants to understand that we are in Christ, believers. Church, we are in Christ. And verse 10 puts it that we are complete in Him. In verse 4 of the next chapter, chapter 3, is that He is our life. It says, Christ, who is our life. We are complete in Him, and He is our life. Charles Spurgeon once put it, would you be a Christian if there were no 11 o'clock Sunday morning service? Is that all of the Christianity that you experience? True spirituality is evaluated not on the outside, but on the inside. Is Christ your life? Can you affirm with a resounding amen to chapter 3, verse 4, Christ, who is our life? Amen. He is my life. Is Christ your life? Is He your all-consuming desire? Do we think about Him often? Do we wake up in the mornings and think, oh, thank you, Lord, for this day? Do we go to bed in the evenings thinking about the heavenly things? It's Christ plus nothing. It's not Jesus Christ is good. He's a good starting point. He's a good starting point. You really need that. You really need to start with Jesus, but we move on from the gospel eventually. You know, you get on to deeper things. You get on to theological things. Maybe even eventually you go to seminary. Become a professional Christian. He's a good starting point, but not necessarily for me. Our culture is very good at making Christianity relevant. It's very postmodern to think, well, that's for you. That's good for you. He's sufficient for you, but he's not sufficient for me, you know, because I've got this other truth that I like to hang on to. I've got these other things that I really, really love. He doesn't need to be my life. He does need to be compartmentalized, though, because he's a good thing. Faith is a good thing to have. No! He is sufficient for everything. He is sufficient not only to establish, not only to build, not only to guard, but also to complete your faith. Our faith, my faith. Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end. He establishes and He completes. It's Christ plus nothing. Do not be fooled and don't let anyone intimidate you. A few weeks back at Midway, our Wednesday night student worship service, I challenged the students with this. I'll just read it. We've actually just wrapped up a series where we've started a 6-year plan of going through the entire Bible, Genesis through Revelation. It's going to take us about 5 years. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure we'll get restless with it. But my goal is that by the time that a sixth grader enters our ministry, that by the end they'll have a complete picture of how the entire Bible points to an all-sufficient Christ. And we're going to take doctrinal breaks along the way. We started with a doctrinal break. We started with one that about really a firm foundation. It was on the doctrine of Scripture, what we believe about Scripture, that it's the final authority, that it's sufficient, that it's infallible, that it's inerrant. All the truths of Scripture that we believe, and we're teaching them to our students. So they'll have a grounded worldview and biblical picture and theology. And this week that I'm about to quote from was whenever we were talking about the sufficiency of Scripture, the sufficiency of Christ. So I had a good prep, a good warm-up for this morning. I said this, I think our student ministry is changing. We've experienced some growth. We have a brand new room, Smitherman Hall. We have a new room to worship in. That's pretty sweet. We're gaining more volunteers to help out. We've got some branding and some fun music. We've got a nice sound system, and we're working on getting a worship leader to lead us in music. But there will be a day when there just won't be any more changes that need to be made. And the question will remain, what has been growing this ministry? What has been the motivator to get your friends in? What has been the excitement around getting lost people here? Is it because our youth group will be the next flavor of the month? Is it cool videos, funny videos? Is it fun games, loud music? Or will it be because there is a growing in Jesus through the Word and through being discipled? We must be a student ministry focused on the all-sufficient Word, on the all-sufficient, which points us to an all-sufficient Christ. The same challenge applies to our church. Church, will we be a bride centered upon the Word? Will we be a church that grows in Christ through His Word? Will we be a faith family that finds its identity in an all-sufficient King Jesus? Will we be established in the faith and completed in Christ? I pray that we will. I pray that we will. Maybe today, you've heard the gospel, you felt the Lord drawing you to receive an all-sufficient Jesus, to establish your faith for the first time. If that's you and you want to know what it means to be a Christian, I invite you to come down here in a little bit. I want to open up an invitation for you to come down here in a little bit. Maybe today you'd like to follow up a previous establishment of faith. You know that you've been changed by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and you want to follow that up with the ordinance of baptism. You want to show our church, show your family, I am a new creation. I want to be baptized, and I'd like to invite you as well. Or maybe you're visiting with us today. You've been visiting a while. Maybe this is your first time, and you'd like to know more about what it means to become a member of First Baptist Church. As Pastor Matt always puts it, and I like it, we're not a perfect church. We're not a church that has it all together. We are a church that will be centered upon the Word and focused on an all-sufficient Christ. So if that's you, and you'd like to know more about what it means to become a member of the Nine, I invite you to come as well. After this prayer, we invite you to come. Pray with me. Father God, we worship you this morning. O King Jesus, we know that you are sufficient. Lord, I pray that when we fall short of acknowledging that, when we fall short of our lives not living with that purpose of glorifying you in all that we say and do, to bring honor to your work on the cross, I pray that you would keep us grounded and bring us back to convict us, not only to convict us, but also that we would be brought into repentance as we build our faith and work out our salvation, that we would always be pointed to your sufficiency and your work on the cross by living the perfect life, dying the perfect death, and rising again to defeat that sin and ascending on high. We love the gospel. We love you. And I also pray in your holy name. Amen.